Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
By my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine, and we're also joined by our other co-host, who is always late as usual. Katrina, what's going on, Katrina?
Nothing. I'm late.
Yeah, you know, it wouldn't be the show if you weren't late.
I know. That's why I don't change stuff up. You know, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to cause any problems by changing my schedule or my routine.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I guess before we get started today, I will be giving live updates from Shine 25 as I am watching on my computer. And once again, it looks like they are running late, which doesn't surprise me because it is an all-women's promotion and that's just typical. But
sure.
Anyway. Yeah. But today, since I thought of a topic because of a certain video that I saw this week that just absolutely disgusted me. I decided we should maybe do a show. Plus, we haven't done a theme show in a while. And I know it was kind of short notice, our doing an hour, so I think we'll be fine. But I wanted to talk about basically when something goes too far in pro wrestling. And what I mean by that is when performers – or something happens in a match that puts the wrestlers at serious injury or risk from their own stupidity. And there's many examples that we could use over the years. You know, but like I say, the thing that really stuck in my mind was from this past week was the incident at Beyond Wrestling with involving Kimberly and Chris Dickinson, I think is his name. And, yeah, I know Couture watched the video this morning. Craig, have you seen this video?
I have seen it, and it's disturbing.
It was Beyond Wrestling.
What was that, Couture?
I said it was Beyond Wrestling.
Yeah. And there's there's a lot of hardcore backyard stuff would be considered tame, considered what happened on this video. And, we're also going to talk about the use of like stuff like glass and fire and just, you know, New Jack jumping off of balconies and shit like that. So when I watched this video, like this girl Kimberly, she's a great worker, actually. I've seen her in a lot of good matches in Shine and Shimmer. And she's been part of a tag team, probably the hottest women's tag team. And she likes to pride herself in calling herself a real wrestler. And from what I saw in that video, that had nothing to do with wrestling. Wrestling is an art form. Wrestling is supposed to be about protecting your opponent. I'm sure that's what you were taught in your short time as a wrestler, Craig.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna hurt somebody doing a move, then you probably shouldn't do that move. If you're bad at throwing punches, all of Vince Verhey, you shouldn't throw them, especially if they're connecting. So, the main thing with professional wrestling is something called trust. And if you can't trust the guy you're in the ring with, then it makes for a bad match and it makes for a dangerous match.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also bad when you trust somebody who is telling you what they're going to do to you and you're not smart enough to realize that's not a good idea. But for those of you who are wondering what we are talking about, there was a wrestling match. I'm guessing it was an intergender match. I'm not even sure exactly the circumstances of the whole match. But basically in this video, you have a guy standing. And then you have a girl, Kimberly, who is, like, on her knees. And it kind of reminded me, you could probably, like, the visual, think back to when The Rock hit Ken Shamrock straight in the face with a chair, an unprotected shot. And basically what this was is they're in, like, the same position. And it kind of looks like she's getting ready to put her hands up. But this fucking idiot, like, swings this chair. Like, he didn't swing it like a baseball bat. He swung it, like, in this wild looping thing where it looked like one of the legs hit her square on her fucking head. And he either could have killed her by the blow or broke her neck from the impact. She basically goes dead limp. He picks her up for, like, a Razor Ramon, the Razor's Edge or Border Toss, basically, and tries to, like, do that, but how Seth does a power bomb into the turnbuckles. He kind of did that, but luckily she didn't go as far to the turbo, because that probably would have fucking killed her. But it's like the most ugliest bump.
It looked like.
Yeah, I mean, it's and she's out cold when this is happening, this whole move. She is out. And
aware of that.
You know, not only does the company defend it, the guy defend it, she defended it. And I can understand you maybe being that dumb enough to agree to it because you don't visualize how hard it is going to hit you, how ugly it's going to look. But then looking back and defending it because you're all right, you should thank God you are right. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right for people to see or do. And it doesn't make you, like I say, if you pride yourself in being a wrestler, it doesn't make you a wrestler. So, I know you just gave a brief statement, but, you know, what is your take on the video, and what would you say to these people if you had the chance to talk to them? Craig.
Well, as you said, there are a few people that are defending him. Maria Kanellis' husband, Michael Bennett, one of them, defending the young man, saying he's a good guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure the girl in the match is a great gal, but two things. A promoter came up to these two, and a booker was there as well, I'm sure, and they went over this idea of an angle for this match. And there is a way to do this angle without going as far as they did. Now, the one thing that I've noticed on podcasts in the last few years that I've been listening to, I've been listening to a lot of Jericho and Shawn Michaels was on there a couple weeks ago. There's this thing when somebody comes up to you and tells you they want to do something, you have the ability to say no. You have the right to say no. You have say in what you do. It's not like they're putting a gun to your head and making you go out there. So agreeing to this was mistake number one. Mistake number two, I don't know why the guy, what was his name? His name's
Chris Dickinson, I think, or something. I think so.
Okay. He absolutely brutalized this woman. The chair shot did not have to be so hard. The toss into the corner was ill-timed and ill thought out as well. He basically launched her much like Kevin Nash launched Rey Mysterio at the truck, except she was flying, you know, back on her back.
Remind me of when Hernandez did that to Gail Kim. He did the same move to her in TNA one time, and it looked bad because she was you know, so small.
When you're just inches away from paralyzing somebody, I mean, literally inches away from paralyzing somebody, that's not a good thing. And to even, the chair shot should have been enough, is what I'm saying. But it went on from there. And then just the flippant tackling the girl and then pinning her, as I didn't realize that the girl was out. I had no idea. But it's just dumb on all accounts. I can understand you're a businessman, you're a businesswoman, and you want to please the company that you're working for. I totally get that. But there's another way around it. And I guess the participants in the match should have thought of different ways to get around it. And it can look good. Just sheer shock factor of man-on-woman violence is enough.
I mean, which we never really see that much anymore.
Exactly.
You know, we see it all the time, but now we especially since they went, WWE went PG, you never see it really that much in any other federations either.
Well, right. the thing is, you see it less than WWE, less than TNA, less on the major promotions on TV, but on the indie scene, it's actually taking a swing, an upswing, as far as women working intergender matches. She's one of the main women that does these matches, and most of them are against her boyfriend, you know, so I'm sure she trusts the guy. This guy, I'm not sure what the relationship was, but, you know, in the indie scene, CZW, Beyond Wrestling, a lot of these companies, they are doing a lot of man versus woman matches.
Which I never liked because I just don't like how it looks. Not that so much as man versus a woman or man shouldn't be hitting a woman or whatever. I just think it looks stupid.
Yeah. To me, it depends. I mean, there are some matchups where it doesn't look right, like Big Rick versus Sexy Star just doesn't look right. But I've seen, I just got this Mia Yim DVD, and it has her matches from CZW, and she had a 3-match series with this one guy. The one guy was kind of a big fat guy, and, you know, she's in shape, and it didn't really look as bad as a Mitch match. But, I mean, but, you know, in some cases, yeah, it's like it just totally looks ridiculous. But in some cases, it's not bad. And, you know, I've seen good intergender matches. I mean, I'm not against that. It's just when shit gets that crazy and gets totally out of hand. Did you have any more thoughts on regarding the angle, Couture?
Didn't the promotion post this video in, like, 3 different angles?
I've seen where it said that, but I've only seen the one angle. I don't know. I don't understand it because I clicked on one that said it had all 3 angles, but I only saw the one. So, I mean, but yeah, they were more than happy to promote this.
Yeah, this is the thing, you know, the power bombing or the border toss, it just looks like carelessness to me, you know.
Yeah.
Woman's smaller, you know, maybe he's not thinking. I don't know if he's trying to make it that stiff, but yeah. I mean, this is horrible.
Yeah, and really she got lucky on that border toss because a few more inches, she would have bounced her head off of the turnbuckles. A few more inches the other way, she would have landed on the chair. So,
of course, people can break their neck just like they fall down, their head hits the rope or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he could have like cracked her cranium on the chair. Because, like I said, it looked like the leg of the chair hit her. And then, like, the angle, because it did look like she was having her getting ready to have her hands up. I think she was expecting it to come from, like, a face shot, like the one The Rock gave Ken Shamrock. But there was no way she could protect her, because this was just so, this guy, I mean, this dude swung. I don't think I've ever seen a chair shot that hard before anywhere. I mean, no matter who threw it. I mean, that guy looked like he was swinging to literally kill somebody. In my opinion,
you know the chair, it didn't look like one of the regular steel chairs. It looked kind of like a little flimsier, like not as hard as the regular steel chair. It was kind of different. Ken Shamrock, the Rock one with Ken Shamrock, I think the worst one I saw, that was worse than that, was when Lesnar first came up and the Hardys creamed him right in the face with those fucking chair shots. Like, you remember when he was doing those run-ins, like the first few weeks he came in, in 2002? And they just, creamed him right in the face with those fucking chair shots. It looked like he should have broken his nose or something. But it just...
Yeah. But, I got a few more examples, but do any of you guys have something that you've seen that you thought went too far in a match?
I always thought the Hell in a Cell match with Mankind and Undertaker was too far.
Yeah, I mean, just the way Cactus Jack looked after the second bump, I mean, he was so, his body color changed colors. He was whiter than he normally is. He literally looked like he had been in a fucking morgue for a day. You know, but just the way he looked. I mean, that went too far. And
going back, I can't say. I have a hard time saying it's a great match, even though most people would probably say it was. And I'm sure we all popped for it when we first saw it. But I have no trouble even rating that match as anything good. It's just like this thing that happened.
Yeah. And he literally could have been killed too. I mean, he could have missed the announce table. He could have hit straight on the concrete. You know what I mean? He could have died right there. The second one, he could have hit a different angle and snapped his neck had he fell more on his neck. You know, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Craig?
The whole thing was such a spectacle. And the funniest thing about that, funny, I say that tongue in cheek, but the weirdest thing about that is you forget, at one time, they actually had thumbtacks in the ring.
Yes. That was the pain part of the match. They didn't want to, they had to go through their stuff to get all their stuff in.
There was two humongous bumps. I figured watching it live, after he tossed him off the cage and he went through the table, it's like, okay, this match is over. There's no way they can start this match. And then they did. And then you've heard from numerous guys in WWE who are more impressed with the second bump, because it's in that crazy hard WWE ring that, and not to mention the chair almost falls on his face.
It did fall on his face.
He followed him down, I think, popped him in the mouth or something.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And then if that weren't enough, then there was thumbtacks. So, and it was ridiculous. I mean,
I'd rather go on with thumbtacks than any of the other bumps he took.
Yeah.
Would have been easier.
Just a crazy scene all around, and one of those things that you'll never forget when you see it. It's just embedded in your mind. But Mick Foley is a crazy, crazy man.
Maybe we got a phone call.
What's that?
I said we got a phone call.
Oh, we do?
I think it's Rey Mysterio. Since he got off the contract, he can call now.
All right, let's go. We got Rey Mysterio on the line. Rey Mysterio, how's it going?
I'd like to applaud Ed's professionalism, because I'm sure there's he could be on Twitter tonight talking about Blue Pants and four other independent. So I'd like to applaud Ed's professionalism for doing the show and not being on Twitter talking about Blue Pants and Mia Yim and the other women of independent wrestling.
Just
I can't believe
time.
You guys haven't talked about that goof DeMont yet. That's what I wanted to call in. This big fat goof has never.
We were going to get to that.
I apologize, gentlemen, but this
what
big
do you
fat.
Do?
What's
do
that?
Do? What do you do? No, I'm kidding. I know what
so,
you do.
So this big fat goof has had a history of just training people really stupidly, right? There was all the reports coming out of Deep South about how stupidly he trained people, about how, his techniques and yada, 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 and I don't remember details right now, right, because I didn't research this topic. I remember reading about and thinking how stupid of a guy this was. He was let go. Then he came back, and he was on the reality show Tough Enough. And again, the big fat goof was the militant drill instructor, and the guy's never had a good body in his entire life. Not saying that that's relative of anything, but the fact is, if you go to Coronado Island and you go to Navy SEAL school, they don't look like big fat. They're not big fat
sure.
running around telling you to lift the logs, right? And my opinion's always been that this goof thinks that he has the training method, and maybe he needs to sit down and look himself in the mirror and say, maybe I should follow what I'm preaching because I look like a fat slob. That's always been my problem with DeMond. And it's like, does he go harder on these guys because he's disappointed with what his career was or what the way he looked?
I think that's one of the things right there.
And then my problem is this guy's had problems in the past, right? And then they continuously bring him back. And this company hasn't learned from its history of they bring in these people and they make mistakes and you gotta let them go. You know what I mean? You gotta let these guys go. There's no real value to DeMott. And I think Dave capped it off perfect tonight when he said the fact is DeMott's probably just not a good trainer at the end of the day. But DeMott's always bothered me because his role. He never fit his role, right? And maybe, my problem with is maybe if he would train, maybe he would understand that what he's doing is stupid, right? If he actually went through the things that he's having these guys do, maybe he'd understand that, man, these things are kind of dumb. Because there's ways to train people where they can meet your expectations, right? So you start them off and you cycle them up. And there's different ways to train, right? I mean, situation is very frustrating because the guy was fired and then he was brought back. And then, lo and behold, he does the same stuff and gets in trouble again.
The thing is, that same stuff, though, 10, really, and 20 years ago, no one would have blinked an eye just because of how everything's changed. I mean, as far as, like, the racial stuff he was saying, the slurs he was saying, no one would have batted an eye 20 years ago. But you have to change with the times. You know what I mean? Like I always say about Bobby Heenan, he couldn't be an announcer today because of the things he said in the past. Same thing with DeMott. You know, you have to kind of change with the times. You can't call anyone a faggot. You can't say the N-word. You can't say shit like that nowadays. Even if you're saying it in jest or in fun, you just can't do it, especially in a publicly traded company. Also, I don't really agree with the military as far as, like, you know, them running, trying to run people off, like drill, 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 just to see how tough you are, you know, to run you
off.
Ed,
that's not how the military is. That's not how the military is.
Right.
I was in the military. That's not what they do. The military, unless you're joining an elite force, if you're joining the SEALs or you're joining Army Special Forces, then, yes, they do try to run you off. But if you're joining the United States Marine Corps, which I did, or the United States Army, the United States, they're not trying to run you off. They're trying to prepare you for the things you're going to see in the future. But they're not trying to run you off. And people don't make it through that process, understood. But they're not trying to run you off. And that's my problem. And I think your first point was excellent, too. Because, like I said, I not that it matters at all, but, yeah, you know, I'm the United States Marine, and I did it for 8 years. And the thing is, boot camp's changed, right? And I always listen to the people. It's, you know, it's not prevailing, but there certainly is a contention among people who came before that, oh, when I went through it, it was so much harder. And we got to push back against that, right? Because there's all these, you know, we should always remember our legends. But the fact is that we have some really good guys today, just like we had some really good guys in the past. You know, I read, and rest in peace, but I read Billy Robinson's book, and it was certainly a frustrating thing to get through, because he was saying about how, you know, he was the toughest guy in the world and how everyone in his generation was the toughest guy in the world and he beat them all. You know, and I understand it's a good story, but there's really tough guys walking around today, and we'll continue to, you know, Jericho, when he went on Twitter and was saying, you know, that's the type of stuff I did, was I was in the heart camp. That's fine. That's cool, Jericho. But we've learned, we've moved past that. And quite frankly, there's some good athletes here today. And WWE's problem is not these guys and their conditioning. It's not these guys and what, you know, calisthenics they're able to perform. There's a lot of other issues going on. And Dave brought up Japan. There was more to than just their training methods, what makes Japanese wrestlers Japanese wrestlers. It's the whole process, right? Today, if you watch a New Japan show, you still see it. The guys in the black tights wrestling the basic match. That's all part of what makes those wrestlers awesome. It's not just the calisthenics, right? So you have to have the whole package. And this goof, seemingly, is, you know, he's missing all that other stuff. And I'm sure there's defenders, and I'm sure he'd say, well, you know, you don't understand, and you don't know what it's like. And, okay, never, you know, I never wrestled at that level. I hear you. But I've done other things comparable. And he comes across to me as a goof, always has, always has.
Yeah, and they've always seemed to be, like, very mean-spirited as far as the way they treat their wrestlers. Like, when we had Delilah Lodge, is that her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
When she was on, and, you know, they had her in the ring, and they're talking to her or whatever, and they're sound-affecting parts. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, they probably saw, okay, this is a big fat girl. You know, they're not going to take her serious, and they're trying to almost embarrass and insult her, I guess, maybe in a way to scare her away. So, I mean, the mean-spirited thing, that's really the big, more of the big problem than I would even say the calisthenics and all that stuff. It's just they've always had this reputation of being very mean-spirited to their wrestlers. And, you know, I'll take, like, one of the, like, Eva Leaf. You know, she was down there. Supposedly she was the best in-ring woman that they had. She's pretty. She's getting good reviews. But she's a very confident wrestler, and she's very, very believes in herself. She's like, in a CM Punk kind of way that can rub people the wrong way. And DeMont was really mean and disrespectful to her, to the point where I remember when she won a bunch of year-end awards, she was like, she posted about it, and she kind of threw it in DeMont's face. And, you know, that as an example of one of the people that, you know, was treated wrongly. And that's the main part that I think they need to clean up, because, you know, if it wasn't a publicly traded company, if it was just the wrestling school or whatever, you know, it wouldn't matter, but it wouldn't be like that big of a deal. But now you do have a publicly traded company, and you can't be mean-spirited like that, because it will blow up, backfire on you, and cause trouble and bad publicity, just like today. I mean, they're getting a lot of bad publicity this week, and it's a lot of it's from stuff that happened a couple of years ago. I mean, ever since they put those cameras everywhere, stuff's kind of calmed down, but it's still documented that it happened, and it will come back to bite you in the ass.
I always noticed that, you know, it seems like some wrestlers, it seems like they get, like, almost offended that you would dare want to be in their business, and that's why they run you so hard. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody. You know, it's like, I know you want to be in what I do for a living, and so they run them as hard as they can for some reason. I've never been one that agrees with the training by humiliation. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Humiliating somebody, if anything, you're going to turn them into the same kind of person you are, you know, treating them like that. So I don't know. I never liked that. I understand being hard on people, but just like humiliating people, this is I'm not down with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And honestly, the overt racism and the name calling and all that stuff, that's been around forever. Just being honest. I mean, I saw it firsthand in locker rooms from from, I won't say any names, but, you know, you guys know who I wrestled for. And it's really sad. You know, I wasn't brought up that way. I had people in my family that were quasi-racist, but I don't understand that, and I'm glad I don't understand it. How you can judge somebody just because of the tone of their skin or the way they look, the way they present themselves. And I know we follow a very cosmetic business, and you're supposed to look a certain way. But to on purpose make somebody's job miserable, those people I have the most disdain for. I don't know how Bill DeMott was brought up in his life and how his daddy raised him, but apparently he needed to spend some more time with the lad and teach him to be a man that respects people. And when you're putting somebody down, you're really trying to boost yourself up and make you look better than they are. So there's some unresolved issues in Mr. DeMott's life and career, and hopefully he can find somebody to help him with that, perhaps a psychologist.
You know, Contreras, I think you made a great point, first of all, about, you know, you don't want to tear people down, but sometimes, quite frankly, you do need to tear people down. But there's a way and a process to do it.
It depends on that person's attitude, I think. You know, the person
absolutely
that you're tearing down and the kind of attitude they have.
And I'm not saying I have the patent how to do it, because obviously everyone's different. And obviously I'm not a pro wrestling trainer, right? But I've been in leadership positions where I've had to check people's egos, and I've had to build them up. And ultimately that's what you got to do, is you have to build them up after you tear them down, right? If people are constantly being torn down, then no one's going to want to be inside that organization. If you want to excel, then – it's stupid to push those people away. And my second point is what Craig said, which I think Craig made an excellent point as well. But the fact is that someone has to be a leader in that situation and say, moving this point forward, we're going to cut all that stuff out, right? If you goofballs amongst yourself want to make jokes and grab ass and whatever, that's fine. But me, the instructor, the head instructor here, you're not going to see that from me because it's not appropriate. Ergo, that will move on in the forward, and that's how people will be taught, is that stuff's not acceptable, right? But someone has to step up and be a leader. And if that goofball can't step up and be a leader, another reason that he should not have been brought back is the second and the third time. I mean, this guy, and the thing is, I'm sure I'd meet him, and I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. I've seen those reports online. I bet he's a great guy, right? I'm sure if I met him, he's wonderful, right? But the fact is that when you hear reports and stories like this, no one is 100%, right? He's not an evil person. But the thing is that when you hear stories and reports like this, even though you have to say that not all of this is true, some of it is, you know, sour grapes, whatever, but you see a theme that keeps repeating itself, right, through different people. And the theme is that this guy obviously has some misinterpretations about training. And the thing is that, okay, these calisthenics, right? I'm sure all of us but Ed has done calisthenics, right? Ed looks like he's never done an exercise in his life, right?
I tried it once. It didn't work out for me, so.
There you go, right? That's all that matters. But, you know, you don't do
I'm
that.
I'm actually
on
the only
basis
person that
plays
sports in this conversation.
Okay, yeah, cool. Okay, so, I mean, the thing is, you don't do calisthenics when you're on the road, right? You need to have a solid training regimen, and also you need to work enough matches to where you can keep your cardio up in the ring. And that's what they need to be teaching these guys. And sure, you do calisthenics because it is a training environment, and you can do calisthenics in a way that can build the team atmosphere and that can bring guys together. Recently I went to San Diego, and we weren't doing tough stuff. I mean, we were just doing, you know, we were doing some good training. And I went to Otto's headquarters, you know, which is one of the best jiu-jitsu teams. And we were doing some good training. It wasn't super tough. It was good training. And, I mean, we were brought together as a team every time we did it. There's ways to do it, right? So if you're doing it just to embarrass guys, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, why am I doing this? Why am I so dead set on embarrassing these guys?
Okay, I got to break in for a major live update from Shine. Okay, maybe the match isn't totally over, but it looked like it was a three-way between the Bullet Babe, my good friend Leva Bates, and actually a good friend of Alex in the ring, and Leva Bates did win the match, defeating Alex's friend, because apparently she's not very good, just like Alex wasn't very good as a wrestler. You know what I'm talking about, Alex?
What's that?
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, either Su Yung or Veda Scott. Either one of those.
No, didn't you tell me you were friends with Thunder Kitty?
Oh no, no. She started around the same time I did, so I'd see her setting up shows. Her and I would set up show like one specifically the XPW show. But no, I don't know her. But I mean, I saw her at shows when we were setting up chairs and stuff. Yeah.
She's actually awesome. I really like her, but she did lose to.
I'm off. You probably like me.
I watched a woman's three-way a little bit earlier by myself.
Okay.
With all that being said, I'd like to thank you guys for giving me the time to speak.
Hold on, Alex, because you are very opinionated. Do you have an opinion on the Kimberly Chris Dickinson video?
Again, I mean, it's like, okay, so pro wrestling, any, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, any activity where I'm giving you my body, okay, I'm giving it to you, right? There is a unspoken contract that when I give you my body, I expect you not to abuse that. And Chris Dickerson clearly did not sign his part of the contract, and he clearly took advantage of Kimberly. And it's disgusting, and he should be ashamed of himself. And professional wrestling's not for him, you know. And Mike Bennett, who I didn't know this until Craig said it, but I was very not the biggest fan of Mike Bennett when he first started Ring of Honor, but he's certainly gotten a lot more proficient in the ring. But for him to, you know, I'm not sure what his comment was, but I don't really care either. Craig said something like he said he was a good guy, and that's fine. But after that clip, it looks like pro wrestling's not for Chris Dickerson, and he should give it up because – he violated that contract, and that's the biggest thing about pro wrestling, right? Second BJJ, man, I give you my body. If you abuse it, I'd never want to roll with you again, you know? In pro wrestling, if I give you my body and you abuse it, listen, there's accidents, and sometimes things happen, and it's a rough sport, you know? Sometimes you're making full contact, but that was a sloppy chair shot. And then once she was out, you could feel dead weight, right? I mean, any of us who's ever lifted weight except for Ed, I mean, you know what dead weight feels like. And if he didn't feel the fact that she was dead weight in his arms, again, pro wrestling's not for him. He should just stop. That's my opinion.
Cool.
Fine opinion, man.
Well, guys, I'd like to thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it because
thank
I was
being
burning
had.
Inside. Thank you. Thank you for being had. I just was burning about this Bill DeMott situation. And again, there's a Shine Eye pay-per-view on, and the professionalism of Ed not to be live-tweeting, especially the fact that Blue Pants was in the ring. I'd like to applaud Ed for that. And I'll see, hopefully, you guys at WrestleMania for the time I'm able to be there. And have a great show, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right. See you later. That wasn't Rey Mysterio, by the way, just so in case anyone was confused. That was.
Oh, thanks for clearing that up, Ed.
Yeah, that was
Alex Scott.
Dead weight that I have to carry whenever he calls in.
You know how well we know who it is in that area code. Every time, I think he's the only person that's ever called in the area code. So.
Probably.
But going back to, I think Kachura had brought up the Hell in a Cell. Craig, is there anything that you witnessed that, just thinking back, maybe at the time you didn't think it's bad, but then, you know, now that things have changed as far as head injuries and stuff, anything that that sticks out in your mind as something sickening or just disgusting or shouldn't just went too far in your mind?
Well, the one thing that immediately popped into my head was October 26, 1996, in the ECW arena, Raven crucified the Sandman. And when I say he crucified him, they put up a cross on the outside of the ring, and they strapped Sandman to it, who was bleeding from the match that he had just had. And they fashioned a barbed wire crown of thorns. And,
that was actually
put it on
pretty cool. I thought that was actually pretty cool. It was horrible and tasteless, but the way it came off,
yes,
it was pretty neat.
And the thing that still floors me to this day is one Kurt Angle actually went to that show and decided to stick around with this wacky world of professional wrestling after seeing that. Still,
well, it was a few years after he would, I think, when wrestling was his only other option, you know. So he finally had to do the wrestling, the professional wrestling thing, because the amateur, you know, it don't pay much.
Yeah. But it went too far, and just meeting a man that believes the way I believe, didn't like the imagery, and it was kind of unnecessary, to be honest with you. So that was one thing that immediately jumped in my mind.
Yeah, and ECW very rarely apologized for anything, but they ended up sending Raven out later that show to apologize, which he gave a half-hearted apology, which...
Sure.
I don't know if you could see that made it worse or not, but, yeah, I can see where that could offend people. You know, anytime you bring up religion in any kind of category, it's real easy to offend people. Because you have people who are extreme and people who are not extreme, and they just cannot get along as far as their, you know, when it comes to stuff like that. Me, myself, hearing about it didn't really, because I only read about it in the aftermath, I didn't see it. It didn't bother me too much. That kind of stuff's not the kind of things that a lot, but it's, I can see where it would, greatly offend a lot of people. And
when I actually saw it, I could see why people would be offended by it. Cause I think the only place it ever showed was on that ECW documentary that WWE did, right? It's like it was never released or anything. It was just, when they did that documentary, that was one of the things, and it was, it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad one. I don't know, this isn't a match that I've seen, just a clip, and I don't know what company it's from. I don't know if it's from Japan or CZW or one of those crazy feds, but there's this match where one guy has a guy laid out in the ring, and the guy goes to the top rope, and he pours fucking kerosene on himself, and he lights himself on fire. The idea is to light himself on fire and then do like a senton on the other guy, right? Well, and then, you know, of course they would put him out, you know, as soon as he hit or whatever. Well,
I would put him out. I'd let him burn.
Yeah. What this guy failed to realize is that when fans fire, so when you're jumping, you're going to fan the fire. So by the time this guy hit, he was totally engulfed in flame. And, you know, of course the clip ends like right after he lands and they go to put him out, but... I don't have any idea how he was, but, I mean, it was one of the scariest things I saw, because this guy had 80% of his body aflame. And, you know, it's one thing to use flash paper. It's a different thing to use kerosene. And, you know, like the Dudley Boys, they would do it in ECW to balls, and it was like they'd light the table, they'd do the move real fast. And then, lighter fluid. And... they would think that there'd always be someone there to put the guy out real fast. And you think, okay, they're doing it so fast, it's not going to do that much damage. That's not the case, because this one friend of mine, Jack Jameson, he's the Lance Storm student that Lance had named after me. He was in a hardcore match in Austin. I wasn't there live, but I saw him the next month, and I saw his back the next month. Okay, they lit the table on fire. He gets powered bombed. As soon as he hits, they're pouring water on him fast, like, wouldn't be that bad. No, this guy had burns all over his back a month later. You know what I mean? He missed the tryout. He had a tryout for ROH like the next week that he couldn't go to because he was too fucked up. And this was a flash. And this guy was a flame from the top rope to the landing. I mean, I can only imagine how stupid that was. And, you know, what do you guys feel about the use of actual fire in a match?
Well, if done correctly, excuse me, if done correctly, it's very spectacular. If you'll notice, every time they did a fire gimmick in ECW or even in WWE, and yes, they've done it, the guy going through the table usually had a shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen Balls Mahoney, Mick Foley. Those guys always were clothed. And so there's a little bit of a buffer between you and the flames. By the way, you've got the ultimate in professionals there. If anything was to go wrong, there would be so many guys that know what's going on and know what they're doing around you to take care of you. I wouldn't do things like that on an indie show because I've seen indie wrestlers. I saw an indie wrestler in a match. He was forced to play the referee. And Nick and Matt Farmer were in a match. They rolled outside, and this geek started counting, and he got to 10. And called the match off. That wasn't the planned finish. That wasn't even brought up. He just figured, well, hey, I got to 10. The match must be over. Hey, dummy, it's fake. This is the kind of idiots that you deal with on the indie scene. And they get in the ring and they're yelling, what the hell are you doing? You know, okay, well, restart the match, and you guys stay in here. And there's a lot of geeks on the indie scene. There just are. A bunch of guys wanting to play pro wrestler, and if you're going to do something like that, I would want somebody with some experience and somebody who I trust in there with me.
The stupidest thing I heard was, God bless Mick Foley, I like Mick Foley, but when they did the fire chair in ECW, and
when they decided to use, or when he thought that Scotch tape was fireproof.
We've got to keep this towel on this chair, so we're gonna tape the towel to the chair and then set it on fire. The fire won't eat through the tape. That's fucking stupid.
That one was nasty because a fan actually got injured because of that, kind of.
Yeah, well, the towel went, like, into the crowd, and then all of a sudden the lights go out. I don't know, still don't know how that happened. Somebody being trying to be a smartass or something, I don't know.
Yeah, that was a bad situation.
I used to hate those, when Balls Mahoney first came in, him and Sandman did those matches where they stick their head out and take chair shot after chair shot just to...
Mm.
See who fell down first.
Yeah,
I mean these are hard. These are the hardest ass chair shots you're ever gonna see. I mean,
yep. This
is like bending the chair over your cranium. He don't look alive, but he's still alive. I hear. So
the same thing with Masato Tanaka. Him and Balls just trading chair shot after chair shot.
That match Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome had at that first. One night stand. That was a bit too far. That was.
Oh yeah.
Oof. That was bad.
Yep.
And considering
what happened to Mike
Awesome
later on, you know.
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, he ended up killing himself because of the pressure he received from the multiple concussions and stuff. But real quick update: they're having a match between TaylorMade and La Rosa Negra, and La Rosa Negra's gimmick is she likes to shake her ass. But what's really interesting in this match is You know how a lot of girls wear tennis shoes and they just wear the kick pads over?
Sure.
Well, I guess now a lot of guys do that too, but she's wearing tennis shoes, mm-hmm. but she's got those tennis shoes that the kids wear that the heels light up. You know what I mean? When they step.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time she's doing the move, her feet are a lit of blue. It just looked pretty funny. But anyway, going to another thing that I saw that I thought was pretty bad. Like I said earlier, I was watching this Mia Yim video, and she does this three-match series with this guy, Greg Excellent. And each match gets a little more physical. For the last one is basically a tables, ladders, and chairs match. And toward the very end of the match, luckily it was toward the very end of the match, they're going to do a spot where they're on the apron on the outside, and there is a table on the outside, and it looks like he is going to suplex her through the table. When they do this, though, he makes sure to, in fact, in my opinion, he overprotected her. You know what I mean? And in doing so, his back of his head took the brunt of this crash into the ground and her landing basically on top of his head. And she ends up getting back in the ring. He lays there for a long time. They start showing him, and he's got that Mick Foley look in his eye from the Hell in the Cell. He's laying there. His eyes are open, but he ain't there, right? And he's there laying there for a while. She slowly gets back in the ring. A couple guys kind of end up putting this big-ass ladder in the ring. And after a while, it looked like they were coming to look at the guy and talk to him. And it looks like they're going to call off the match, which I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that's what they kind of need to do. But then he does the Mick Foley thing where he pushes the guys away and he gets back into the ring. And he's got that glazed look in his eyes, just like Foley. And basically, the match didn't last too much longer, thankfully. She ends up, like, laying him on the table in the ring, and she starts to climb the big ladder. And when she's almost at the top, he gets off the table, and he climbs up the ladder, and she ends up doing the sunset flip powerbomb to him through the table and ends up getting the win. But this is like an example of where a guy was actually trying to protect someone, and it ended up, like, really screwing him over. But they really should have ended that. They should not have let that last spot happen. I mean, the last spot didn't really look it looked spectacular. It didn't look, like, super dangerous. But, like I say, you knew he was concussed. And I think today they would probably, you know, not allow him to continue. But, you know, this is from, even, you know, a couple years ago, people still had a different opinion of headshots and stuff. And, you know, they really should not have let him continue because, you know, it's just the look in his eyes was just, it was scary. And I thought that was kind of bad. Sure. We only got about 7 minutes. Do you have any, like, little quick things we could, like, say that? Oh, I know one. Looking back, one of the most disgusting things now, at the time, it made me go, ooh, wow. And I thought it was like this awesome, crazy spot. But now I look at it and it's like, God damn, why did they do that? And that would be when Chris Benoit did the tope and Chris Jericho swung that chair with everything he had and hit him straight on the head. Looking back, that shouldn't have happened.
This was at the Royal Rumble in New Orleans. I was there live, and they had a ladder match, and did the tope out of the ring, and Jericho just cracking right in the head with that chair. Thinking back, that probably was not wise.
I used to the way I basically got into wrestling the way I, you know, met Brian and everything. I was a tape trader, and I had tons and tons of videotapes from all over the world, and I got a lot of stuff from IWA Japan. And the one thing that really stuck out at me in my mind was they had the headhunters. You know, they have headhunter A and headhunter B, and they put them in a match together, and they took bricks, you know, bricks, and wrapped them in barbed wire, and these two fools stood like 4 feet away from each other and threw bricks at each other, and they were landing on them and in some cases sticking, and they did this again and again and again. That was too fun.
That sounds so absurd, I can't even be mad about it.
Just unbelievable. Yeah, Headhunter A versus Headhunter B, barbed wire brick match. See if you can find it.
And I had all those, you know, all that backyard crap with the light tubes and the mouse traps and the pit with the HIV needles or whatever the fuck people have done before. I think that shit's all stupid. That doesn't really even need to be talked about because that's just people being idiots. It didn't have nothing to do with wrestling.
I agree.
Yeah, and we only got a few minutes, so like kind of in closing, two of the most hardcore wrestlers that I ever saw were Bruiser Brody and Abdullah the Butcher. You know, I saw them bloody many a person up, but I never, ever saw either one of them hurt anybody.
I'm sure Abdullah hurt somebody. He gave one guy a disease.
Well, yeah, I guess that's not a bad example. But Bruiser Brody, I never saw Bruiser Brody hurt anybody. I saw him scare the shit out of Lex Luger, but I never saw him hurt anybody.
You'd see him, he'd have a pencil in his hand, he'd take it out of his tights and stick it in the guy's head.
Yeah.
He didn't hit him with no glass, didn't even no light tubes, with no mouse traps. And put nobody on fire.
That's right.
Because I never liked that dual matches. If you've seen one, you've seen all of them. So, anyway.
Yeah. But we got 3 minutes. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrera and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. I am at my last name, which is Proper, P-R-O-P-E-R, and the word jam after that, so Proper Jam on Twitter. Follow me there.
Go to YouTube.com/Cotrera. Got a bunch of stuff up there. Too much to talk about.
Cool. And we're about 2 minutes away, so we'll go ahead and
do we have anything for next week yet?
I haven't planned anything. Did you have something in mind?
I thought maybe next week we could go through the, you know, this year's WWE Hall of Fame, you know, class and do a show on them.
Okay, that sounds fine. I mean, I'm going to it. I do have to say that I'm a little underwhelmed so
far.
You
should be.
It would be better if the Macho Man was still alive, but unfortunately he's not. But
right.
I've enjoyed all the Hall of Fames that I've went to, so hopefully this will be okay. And, you know, major update. Santana Garrett is coming to the ring, and goddamn is she hot.
Like that music, you weirdo.
And is this a break? Are Dave and Brian doing a breaking audio on it?
No, they're not.
Okay. I'm sure Vinny would want to since he loves Britney. But, I can never find this dance. Oh, here it is.
I could tell that Ed was.
What? What? I'm sorry.
I could tell Ed was really outraged by the Kimberly thing because he actually called in the Wrestling Observer Live to complain about it.
I would have, but they had to take Dave and Naylor and Dr. Lucha. Like, they're more important than me than, you know.
Well, yeah. They are.
Well, I did talk about it the other day. What am I talking about? Anyway, here's the music.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix.
Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.